We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Vince, are you ready for rapid fire?
After that comment, how could I not be? Let's go.
Perfect segue time. Perfect segue. Guys are lively. Guys are lively tonight in the chat. I'll tell you that much. They're working overtime.
I like it, though.
In the chat.
I like it.
So Marcus Freeman was asked after the blue-gold game about he's grown as a head coach in his first 2+ years at Notre Dame. And here is his answer.
Oh, as far as me... Yeah, I think, God, I wish I could just pinpoint one thing. There's a lot of things. There's a tremendous amount of things you learn, and I don't ever think you stop. I don't know. I haven't stopped in the 3 years I've been a head coach, and there's no plan to. But I think the one thing that sticks out is that you have to at times pull back. And, you know, I think the first year being a head coach, every day was the Super Bowl. Every day, like, we had win or lose, like, this was the Super Bowl. And it's not saying that every day is not important. Every day is important, but what you're trying to get out of each day could change, right? And you have to look at this as a progression to making sure you're ready to go when it matters the most. And I think that's the thing I can point to that I've learned more than anything is being able to pull back and look and say, okay, how does this day matter in terms of the progression to where we want to go? And it's a different perspective than I've previously had.
All right, so a couple follow-ups here, Vince. First, what do you think about his response? Every day's not the Super Bowl. You got to know when to pull back.
Well, he's learning the process of being a head coach. He's learning what you need to do and how you need to do it and what that looks like. And I think that's important. I mean, it is important. It's something as a head coach, you need to be in control and you need to set the tone every single day, whether it's a workout, whether it's a practice, whether it's a game. And I think he's starting to understand the differences between those. It doesn't all have to be at 100 miles an hour. So I agree. I think that's a great point that he made.
Yeah. I think when you start off, we've obviously both coached before, you're trying to fix everything. And you probably want to be you want to be on top of everything and control of everything. And it's like now, it's got to be now. And there's always got to be this sense of urgency, especially depending on sort of like who you're coming from and, you know, all like taking over for and all that different kind of stuff. And, you're kind of showing everyone like you got the sense of urgency and, you know, and you care and it matters and all that. But not everything can be priority number one. And, it can't always be, like right now, there's got to be that balance, and there has to be balance between, what you're doing yourself, what you're delegating, all those different kind of things. So I can see what he's talking about, mm-hmm. kind of trying to find that sort of happy medium and how you're approaching things on a day-to-day basis, especially when it is football and, like the calendar is spread out so far, So I think that was an interesting response. Where do you think that Freeman has grown the most in his 2+ years as head coach?
Delegation. I think that he tried to put it all on himself early on in his tenure as the head coach, kind of dictating what the offense was going to do and what they were going to look like and, all that kind of stuff. And obviously he still had his hand in the defense and, all of these different things. I think he's now, okay, Mike Denbrock, you're my guy on offense. You do your thing. Golden, you're my guy on defense. You do your thing. And that has in turn allowed him to coach better on game day as well. I think we've seen him get better with clock management. We've seen him get better with kind of his emotions on the sideline and, just being more dialed in as a head coach as opposed to a coordinator, because it's completely different. And so I think that part of his maturation process has been really good.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing that's impressed me is just his ability to continually adapt and, sometimes change the messaging on the fly, like in a short amount of time, because I think that there's a tendency, especially with a young first time head coach, it's like, I've got a plan. Here's my plan. This is my plan. And I'm sticking to it. Like it didn't work in that game, but if we stick to the plan, it's going to work. It's eventually going to work out. And I think that they can be resistant to sort of want to admit, especially into a, to the peers, like the other coaches under him on the staff and to a bunch of, young athletes that, maybe this was the wrong approach in this case, but like we saw him very, very early on after the losses to Marshall and Stanford, he wasn't just going to keep doing the same thing over and over and expect a different result, His predecessor in 2016 tried that. Nothing changed. The bottom fell out, right? So, Freeman salvaged what could have been a disastrous first season. They beat Clemson. They end up, they go on and win a bowl game, and then they turned that into 10 wins last year. But I just think his willingness to be critical of himself in the moment and, not wait until the end of the season to, right. To reevaluate and reassess things.
That's good.
Yeah, and I think that's somewhat unique in the coaching profession.
Oh, yeah.
He's willing to do that.
And you know what? And he's been partially doing that since he walked in the door at Notre Dame. Remember the Florida State game? Like, he immediately came out and was like, that was a bad call by me.
That's true. When he was defensive coordinator. Yeah.
I think he's always done a good job of allowing the players to know that, hey, man, I make mistakes too. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you're right. His predecessor, that is a foreign language to him. There is no way he would have ever done anything like that. I love that attribute about him. I love it. And I guarantee you his players love it too, because they know that he's not just going to go up to the mic and throw them under the bus.
Right.
He's going to take accountability, because the buck stops with the head coach.
Yes.
And that is that's a new thought around here at Notre Dame.
Yes. Completely different. Completely different.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, so the NFL draft, of course, starts tonight. Let's predict what round the most likely Notre Dame draft hopefuls.
This is so hard
to go with.
I looked at this earlier and I was like, this is going to be like, this is going to be so tough for me. Go ahead.
Okay. So we got, of course, Joe Alt, Audric Estime, JD Bertrand, Sam Hartman, Blake Fisher, Cam Hart, Maris Leofel, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. So Alt is a lock to go in the first round. So we'll do him a little bit different than the rest of the guys. He has consistently been mocked going number 7 overall to Tennessee. So will he go before 7, after 7, or right on 7?
I think he has been ridiculously mocked at 7. Like, everything I see has him at 7, which is nuts. I think there's somebody's going to pull a rabbit out of their hat, and I think he's going to go before 7. I'll be positive.
I'm kind of thinking that as well, because, you know, there's like, there are going to be some trades that are made, and we'll get specifically, we're going to have a trade question here in a little bit, but could shake things up. I wouldn't even be surprised if there's all this smoke screen about the Chargers and the Chargers are going to trade their pick and, you know, like Minnesota or, you know, one of those teams is going to end up there picking a quarterback at number 5. I wouldn't be surprised if Jim Harbaugh just goes Joe Alt at number 5. That doesn't mean he will, but, you know, Harbaugh's blueprint everywhere that he has been
is
smash guys off the line of scrimmage and protect your quarterback investment and smash some guys with a guy like Joe Alt. So I wouldn't be surprised with that. So I do. I think he'll end up going before 7 tonight. Okay. So the rest of them, we're going to go by round and try to predict what players, which Irish players will go.
There they are.
I think Dad might have just walked in the door, potentially. There they are. I don't know. Yes, you could hear them, couldn't you? They just went nuts.
That's great. I was waiting. All right.
I know. Second round. Do you think any Notre Dame players go in the second round?
The only one that even has a chance, in my opinion, of going in the second round is Cam Hart, in my opinion. I think he's a second round talent. I don't know that he'll actually go in the second round because of the injury history, but he's going to start someplace. He's going to start somewhere next year. In a zone scheme defense, he's going to start and he's going to be magnificent. He's a second round talent. He should go in the second round. So I put him in the second round.
Okay. So you do have Cam Hart going in the second round.
Yep.
I don't have any of them going in the second round. I agree. I think
I can see that.
I think that Hart and Fisher are both borderline, like maybe they get taken at the end of the second round. There's a lot of late buzz on Blake Fisher, I'm hearing.
Yeah, I know.
DK says Cowboys are taken. The Cowboys don't, I don't know. They've got their plan. They are not being public about it, which
shocker.
We'll see what they do. They've only got so many draft picks, but I don't have any Notre Dame guys going in the second round. Third round is a different story for me.
Okay.
And I'll just say I've got Blake Fisher going relatively early in the third round. His average rank at tackle is about number 12.
Okay.
And I think that he ends up going, like I said, he could end up going late in the second, but I'm picking him to go in the third round.
I have Blake Fisher and Audric Estime in the third round.
Okay. And I was going to go one by one, but I've got Estime and Cam Hart also in the third round.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. You're doing it now. All right.
Yeah. So a lot of mocks have, you know, like Estime in the fourth round. I just think mid to late third is what Estime
I do ends too. He's getting a lot of pub right now. I mean, just a lot of juice, I think. And I don't see how he could possibly interview poorly. You know what I mean? I think he's a team guy. I think he's a guy that you'd be happy to have on your team. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he checks a lot of the off the field boxes as well.
Yeah.
Not to mention his tape is really good.
Yeah. And now, like you were talking about Cam Hart, and you've got him potentially second round, and that's his mocks are just, they kind of have him all over the place. They've got him anywhere from the second to the fourth. And that's why I'm just kind of picking him in the third. I think he ends up going late third, unfortunately, to where Washington is, because Dan Quinn, the former Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator, who's now the head coach of Washington, loves that body type that Cam Hart has, that long physical body type. So, and they've got three picks in, they've got six picks actually in the top 100, three of them in the third round. So I think that there's a very strong chance that Cam Hart ends up being a Washington Commander by the time it's all said and done.
Sorry, I know. Cam. I'm sorry.
Greatly disappointed.
Honestly, that would be awesome. Either way, however it shakes out, if Cam, Audric, and Blake all go on day two, I think that's a win. I think that's a win.
Yep. What about the fourth round? You got any Irish guys going in the fourth?
Nope.
Okay, me either. Fifth round?
Nope.
Me either. How about the sixth round?
I do. I have both linebackers going in the sixth round.
Okay. So you got Maris Leofau and JD Bertrand both going in the sixth.
I think JD goes there because of his smarts and his athletic ability and what he's able to do. His film is really good. He stacks up numbers. He is going to blow people away in the interview room. Like, I think people will take a flyer on him in the sixth round. And then Maris, he's just going to get drafted on potential alone. I mean, his highlight reel is unbelievable. But when they start watching full games, they're going to be like, well, but there's going to be coaches out there that be like, I can fix that. I can do that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't manufacture what he is as a physical specimen and what he brings to you. And so I think people are going to take a flyer on him in the sixth.
I think between the two, Leofau and Bertrand, I give Maris the better chance to go in the sixth because of all the stuff you're talking about, the athleticism and the length and the long arms and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, because people are going to look at the physical traits and everyone wants to talk about Bertrand as a short arm guy and all that kind of thing. So I don't have any of them going in the sixth, but I think I would give Maris the better chance to go in the sixth. I've got Leofau, Bertrand, and Hartman all going in the seventh round.
That's fair. I got Hartman in the seventh round. I do.
Yes.
He's going to make somebody very happy as a backup. I think he could, you know, he could have a very nice career as a backup quarterback, you know, over the next 10 years, maybe get a handful of starts, you know, that kind of a thing. Like that, you can make a hell of a living with that as your resume. You know what I mean? Right. And I think that's who Sam Hartman's going to be.
Thanks for the super chat, Gregory Perez. Which Notre Dame players on the current roster, other than Riley Leonard, have the talent to go in the first round, regardless of class?
That's tough.
But I would say Benjamin Morrison.
Yep.
Potentially Charles Jagasaw. I won't go with the running back. Receivers are interesting. I don't know if any of them right now I would put in that category. Mm-mm. I don't think Xavier Watts will, just because safeties, like,
right.
He could potentially. Obviously, Kyle Hamilton was potential first round, but Kyle Hamilton was such a unicorn, you know, just because right. of, you know, all of his dimensions and everything else. So I don't, can you think of anybody? I would just say, I would just put it at Morrison as the best shot, I think, right now.
I think Christian Gray has a shot because I think he's,
yeah, that's a good one.
He's a Ben Morrison clone.
Yeah.
So I think he's got a shot. You know, then you start looking yeah. at, you know, I think maybe
Bryce PBA. Irish PA or PA Irish guy says Bryce Young. I yeah. think that's an interesting one.
He's got
one.
The pedigree. I yeah. mean, his career is still so early. That's the hardest part. And same with KVA. I was going to say KVA could be, you know, in that conversation. But again, his career is so early. What is it going to look like as he moves forward? And then look, man, I'm going to say it. CJ Carr. He's on the roster.
See, it's like, it's crazy. Like, this is a next week conversation when we'll get into some more of this kind of stuff. But
sure.
Okay. But yes, I was actually, I can't believe I forgot about CJ Carr when he asked that question, because I was like thinking forward to, you know, like potential
oh, sure.
first round guys, you know, over the next few years. And I think CJ Carr is definitely
right
in that conversation. Okay, so the Bears, of course, have the number one pick in the draft. Bears general manager Ryan Pohl said earlier this week, quote, "We know what we're going to do, but everyone is going to have to wait until Thursday okay. to go there," end quote. Do you think there's any way they do anything with number one other than draft Caleb Williams tonight?
No, there's no way they do anything other than that, and because they just want to make me miserable. And I don't know if you saw, I tweeted about it this morning. I'm like, well, here we are. It's draft day. It's the day that the Bears put their franchise back a decade. Like that's how I feel that this is going to go tonight. And, you know, it is what it is. I'll still root for the Bears, but I think they're making a very poor decision here.
I mean, they've already taken two quarterbacks in the last 6 years now? Something like that. Trubisky and Fields high in the first round. So this will be the third. Be interesting. I think it's going to work out better than you think it's going to work out. I'll put it that way.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be an absolute dumpster fire. So that's not really setting the bar very high.
I think it's going to work out a lot better than a dumpster fire. I think you can't get the, you know, the fingernail polish and USC out of your mind. I think that's why you think it's going to go so
and far. All the offseason crap, like all the talking about wants ownership of a team and like just all this nonsense that's out there. Like, just shut up and be a generational talent. That's gonna be what derails him. It's gonna be the off the field stuff. He's gonna have the wrong people around him, and it's gonna be his downfall. That's okay. My prediction.
All right. TBD. I think it's gonna work out a lot better than that.
Yeah.
Over under 5.5 quarterbacks who will be picked in the first 15 picks of the draft.
Under. Okay. Now, it may happen, but it's going to be like four of those teams are going to regret it in about 3 years. I just don't think there's that kind of talent to be taking just, quarterbacks that high.
I don't either. But, you know, again, it's hard. Like the last couple days leading up to the first round of the draft, it's hard to sift through what is BS and what is legit information. But there's all this about, you know, the Raiders apparently love Michael Penix, the Broncos and Sean Payton love Bo Nix, you know, all this kind of stuff and how all that plays out. I mean, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, JJ McCarthy. I think we're all pretty secure that those four
that he's in that conversation. JJ McCarthy.
I know.
Like,
I know
does anybody watch
as well?
Does anybody just watch be thankful?
Just be thankful they're taking Caleb Williams and not McCarthy, Vince. Your head would really explode if they were taking J.J. McCarthy up there.
Because at least Williams has good film. Like, J.J. McCarthy, what good football film does he have?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you are going to go.
I'm praying that the Giants make a move and go get him, like some people were talking about. Please.
I am I am befuddled by that. Like, if he's such a good quarterback, why did he not throw throw a pass or complete a pass or whatever it was against Penn State? You know what I mean? Like, if he's that good, why would you just run the ball all game long? But whatever.
I'm going to go over, though. I think that Penix is the biggest question, whether or not, because like people are talking about, does he even go in the top 20? But I'm going to say Penix gets in the top 15. If this Raiders talk is real, then you're going to have six of them go in the first 15 picks tonight. So I'm going over. We'll find out.
I think I would take Penix over McCarthy any day of the week and twice on Sunday. So
I would too. Much different kind of talent. Okay.
Yeah.
Curious to see what you came up with this, or if you've even had time to think about it. So the NFL draft, of course, is the biggest sporting event of the year that doesn't involve an actual game being played. College football has nothing like it.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is there something college football could create to take place in the offseason that could generate some big time buzz interest for the sport, you know, like a 1-2-3 day event kind of.
So they used to have it. It was called signing day. And they've pretty much blown that up with the early signing day. They have multiple signing days now. And frankly, just because a kid signs at your school doesn't mean he's going to stick around anymore. I mean, with the transfer portal and everything else, everything is so volatile in the college football world. I don't think that there's anything you could possibly do. The biggest thing they ever had, remember how big of a deal signing day used to be? I mean, it was.
Yeah,
it was,
but it still wasn't even close to draft day.
No, not, you're not going to be able to touch.
But you're right. Like, draft is. There's just so many schools and, you know, like the way it has to be done because kids are still in school. Right. But you're right. Like, it's.
From a media standpoint, back in the day when they would have draft coverage, like you would be like, we would have to be there all day. They would serve lunch. There would be, you know, they would announce as every kid used to come in, and then they would have a big press conference. Remember, we would be sitting in that auditorium like all day long, mm-hmm. kind of watching it all go, and you'd interview assistant coaches here and there. Like, it was a huge deal. And now it's just like, well, we'll just put up some Twitter graphics and call it a day. Like, it's just, there's just not the excitement of signing day anymore either. Like, remember when Manti, right. for example, decided to come to Notre Dame at the last second? Like, you just don't even have that kind of
stuff.
A lot
different. Anymore. You don't get any of that drama. That's the thing with signing day now is like everyone pretty much knows who's going where. It's just a formality.
Right.
You know,
it's
so
drama-less.
Yeah. Yep. So, again, because I kind of crossed signing day off the list, I was thinking about this morning after I kind of, because I came up with this question this morning when I'm watching draft coverage on TV, first thing out of the gate, you know, like what could you do what could college football do to generate any kind of buzz? So here's the best idea that I could come up with. I'm interested to see what you think. So mid-July every year, like before NFL training camps start, you get like college football would put on an event. You'd move it to a different city every year, just like they do with the draft right now, for lack of a better name, like a national college football fan fest type thing.
Okay.
So who would be there at this fan fest thing? So you're going to have 14 teams in the playoff every year. So for starters, if you were in the playoff the previous year, you're designated to go to this thing the next year. And then you like probably fill it out with, you know, like other teams that are in the preseason rankings going into the season, like maybe the top three or four teams from every conference, you know, that are picked to go in. You would have Notre Dame go there every year as well. So you would send like your head coach, your athletic director, and maybe every team sends like your top four players or something like that. So, you know, like Riley Leonard would go, Sam Hartman would have gone last year, that kind of thing. But here's sort of the spin that I put on.
So right now it's a media day.
Right.
Right.
Rather than your traditional, you know, like you send the coaches and the athletic director and the players and they answer media questions, they go and you're selling fan fest tickets to this thing. Okay. So fans would get to like step up to the microphone and ask the players, or maybe not the players, but at least the coaches and the athletic director, they would get Q&A sessions with the head coaches and the athletic director. So like the coach sits up there with the athletic director on the stage, and then fans would get to step up to the microphone and actually interact and ask the coaches and the players their own questions. Then in terms of the players themselves, the play, you know, like they would get to do NIL type stuff. They would either get like an appearance fee, or they would, you know, get money for signing autographs, or they could sell their own personal brand stuff or whatever. And then in terms of the media themselves, like you would put like the bigger name national media types, Kirk Herbstreit, Joel Klatt, you know, Gus Johnson, who all the people who are traditionally Chris Fowler, all those people, like they would also do the Q&A sessions with the fans.
Oh,
so like you would put them up there. So like they would be the one, like fans would be asking them questions. Like it wouldn't be the media who would be doing any of the questions and answers. It would all be fans interacting like with the head coaches, athletic directors, and that kind of stuff. But you would like, you know, you would move it around to a different part of the country every year. Like Seattle gets it one year, Houston, Miami, Nashville, whatever.
It's a fan fest. It's a
exactly
as Andrew Gilmore said, it's like Cubs fest. You know, you've got all the players there. You get to talk to people. They do press conferences.
Basically along those lines. Yeah. You know, they're you know, like that's the best I can come up with because again, there's not signing day is never going to get the same kind of. You know, like you're not going to get everybody to congregate in one place like the NFL draft does.
I like it. I could get on board with that.
Okay.
Maybe even get a nice little trip out of it and go to a big city that I've never been
That's right. Like the, you know, like as media, we would still, you know, like the TV cameras would be there and, you know, like you might get some kind of stuff, but you would set it up so that, you know, it's like, okay, you know, so Marcus Freeman, here's a question that he took from a fan, you know? So I think you would get a completely different kind of perspective.
Oh, yeah.
With the fans doing the interaction as opposed to, you know, traditional media.
It's interesting. I wonder if like, you know, Notre Dame Sports Information would want to, you know, clear the questions first. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, I'm sure everyone would want to. They would want to screen the questions.
The question screening situation. That would be very interesting.
Because look, Dabo and Nick Saban and those, you know, those like down south where they do those actual coaches shows where fans are calling in, you know, like
right.
As we know, they've taken some questions before. So I think they're big boys. They can handle it.
Well, Dabo didn't handle that one very well, but
no,
the one situation I remember,
he didn't handle it well.
No,
I'm saying,
yeah, you know, like right.
They've taken crazier questions.
This is true. This is true.
Okay. Starter jackets.
Oh,
they were the rage in the late 80s and into the 90s. Scale of 1 to 10, how much would you like to see the silky smooth starter jacket make a comeback?
I loved my starter jacket, so I'm all for it. Bring it back. Scale of 1 to 10, 27. Love it. Starter jackets were freaking awesome.
I tell you what, man, like growing up predominantly in the 70s and then you know, teenager basically.
Were you out of the
I was like pre starter jacket. Like starter jackets really came into vogue when I was in the Army. Like I knew a couple guys, like a good friend of mine had an Atlanta Falcons starter jacket. And it looked sharp because that was like when the Falcons changed their color scheme from red to black and all that. Okay. They were like more black and silver and stuff like that. Do you remember like the JCPenney Christmas catalog? And it would come out and there was like a huge sports section and they would sell. Like I had like the Dallas Cowboys letter jacket looking thing, you know, like when I was a kid, I was like every year the Dallas or like the Penny's catalog came in. So like that's, I had kind of the precursor to the starter jacket.
Okay.
But the starter jackets look freaking awesome.
Man.
And
the zipper had the starter logo.
Yes.
Like, oh yeah.
Yes. Or the button ups even, you know, like I was watching Good Morning Football this morning on the NFL Network, and it's actually been off the air for like a month, but they brought it back because of the draft this weekend.
Okay.
And Kyle Brandt had the sweetest 1984 World Series Detroit Tigers starter jacket
that
he was wearing because he was in Detroit. And like, I wouldn't want, you know, like the Detroit, but it was like, I was like, man, that is a sweet freaking jacket. And there's this guy that works for Fighting Irish Media, who does a lot of the social stuff like for women's basketball, and he travels with us, Ben. And a couple times this year, he showed up with these vintage starter jackets, like on the plane. I'm like, where did you get that? And he's like, he's out thrifting and he's finding starter jackets. And it's like, that is the sweetest freaking jacket. And so after I saw Kyle Brandt wearing his Detroit Tigers starter jacket, I got on eBay today.
Oh boy.
And I have purchased two silky smooth starter jackets. Two different. I'm not going to tell you what teams they are.
Are you going to unveil?
When they show up, you will see it right here on the show. I am like the starter. How did we go away from the silky starter jacket? That's what I want to know.
That's a good question. D-Hawk says, I want to pull this one up. D-Hawk says, I still have my Notre Dame starter jacket I got for Christmas in 93. My mom kept it in pristine condition.
Wow.
I think my starter jacket is at my mom's house.
You actually had one?
Yeah, I had one. I had a Notre Dame one.
Oh, man. You need to see if you can dig that up.
Right. It was white. It was predominantly white.
Okay.
And it had like Notre Dame like scrawled across the front of it. And like, oh, yeah, it was... I love that jacket.
I'm excited. Like, I don't know when I'm actually going to wear these things.
Right. Right. I may have worn it up until I got my letter jacket from high school. Like, it may have been the precursor to my letter jacket.
Do you remember like in Rudy, they like, it's like one of the,
there's a kid walking around with the starter jacket on.
Right. But it's like,
right.
What do you call it? There weren't starter jackets
because it wasn't in the,
like in the 1970s. Yeah,
correct.
Yeah,
yes, it totally. And there's guys walking around in like Bettis jerseys and things like that in the movie. And clearly, they did not have jerseys back in the 70s. Really, like the fans were wearing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can't wait for these things to show up.
Oh, like, I'm so excited for you.
I am so excited because, like I said, I never had one. The closest thing I ever had was
you were
that
a little older
Pennies.
Than, yeah. Yeah.
Cause I, like I said, I could have because like friends of mine had them. Like, did you ever have the Zubaz pants or do you remember the Zubaz pants?
Were those like the ones that had like the tiger stripes?
They were like the tiger stripes in the NFL colors.
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know that I ever had a pair. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
I used to get like the NFL catalogs when I was over in Germany. And I was always thinking about buying a pair of the Zubaz, and I never did. I'm going to admit, looking back on them now, I'm pretty glad I never bought the Zubaz.
Yes. Yeah.
But
I mean,
I thought at the time that they were like the coolest looking freaking things. I'm like, I got to have the Zubaz. But then I never bought them.
That was like the precursor basically to wearing your pajama pants out of the house. I mean, that's basically what that was.
And a friend of mine had them, and I think that's actually what turned me like, I don't think so.
It's like
no offense to anybody who went Zubaz.
Yeah, well, you know, that's great.
But I actually went on Starter. I thought that Starter was still around. I wasn't sure to what extent. I went on, they have a website. I'm going to say their stuff has kind of slid back.
Mm.
But I would think if they just made like a retro starter jacket line with those silky smooth starter jackets, I would think that would make a huge comeback if they
decided to go that. That's retro, like it,
yes,
vintage.
They look, and I hope these jackets that I'm getting are at least in somewhat decent shape because, of course, they're used because they're fairly old, but
for sure,
I'm really excited about the jackets coming. I bought the first one. I spent a little bit more for the first one than I really wanted to, but I was like, that just looks too sweet. I'm not going to, because yeah. I thought about like making like a counter offer, and I'm like, nah. And then I looked and he's like, he's already got like six counter offers or something. And I'm like, I'm just going to buy it. I'm going to
buy now. It. Hit the buy now button. Just do
and then
it.
I bought the second one, different team. Looks like maybe not quite as in good a shape as the first one, but I'm pretty excited. So, you'll see them. You'll see them both.
All right.
Get them. I'm going to wear them on the show.
Okay.
So, looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to it.
I bet you are.
I need to talk to my mom. To
let me you need to find that. Yeah. Like, if you can get yours, we'll like plan it out so that we both wear them the same night.
Okay. Deal. Deal.
All right. All right. Sounds good. Starter jackets. Make it happen. It's time for a comeback. Starter jacket resurgence. Maybe we should buy stock in starter right now on the chance that it's coming.
Stock up, baby. Yeah, stock up.
All right. Well, thanks for being here tonight. That will put a bow on this evening. We got a lot of we had some Ricky Waters resurgence talk earlier in the show. We finished with starter jackets late in the show. Hit the like button before you leave, and of course subscribe, rate, and review, and enjoy the draft tonight. Let's see where Joe Alt and everybody else ends up going, and we will talk to you tomorrow on Aviation. Mm-hmm.